In his autobiography, Mahatma Gandhi tells how, as a young solicitor living in South Africa, he was drawn to Jesus Christ. One Sunday, Gandhi decided to go to a Christian church. He was stopped at the entrance and told that if he desired to attend services, he was welcome to do so in a church reserved for black people. Gandhi never pursued the matter again. Decisions, good or bad, always have implications. It is a tragedy when Christians choose to depart from that golden rule enunciated by Jesus himself. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. Jesus was not demanding that we merely keep rules and commandments. He was asking for something greater. He was asking for a change of heart and mind, a deep down conversion that enables us to see reality with new eyes, to look at others with his eyes, and to strive to see what he sees, to love what he loves. Today's gospel serves to emphasize this when Jesus says to his disciples, "For I tell you, if your virtue goes no deeper than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." The great spiritual teachers of every generation speak of a deep longing in the human heart, a longing which many have great difficulty in naming. But St. Augustine did name it. He said, "Ultimately, we long for one thing, happiness." Some centuries before Augustine, one of the psalmists asked, "What can bring us happiness?" and answered, "Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord." Before his conversion to Christianity, St. Augustine believed that happiness could be attained through worldly pleasures and by success and personal achievements. However, after his conversion, he realized that these transient satisfactions were fraught with disappointment and failed to truly satisfy the deepest needs of the human soul. He discovered, as the psalmist says, "They are happy who do God's will, seeking him with all their hearts." Of course, we are free to make our own decisions. God does not coerce, but respects our freedom, as the first reading indicates. "God has set fire and water before you. Put out your hand to whichever you prefer." All decisions have implications. In the exercise of freedom, it is wise to ask, "What can bring us happiness?" Pope Francis once said, "Some people think they are free if they can avoid God. They fail to see that they are orphaned, helpless, homeless." We see the moral wretchedness of those who choose to interpret freedom as the freedom to live as they please. This results in others, particularly women and children, being treated as commodities. The wealthy and powerful men at the centre of the present abuse scandal are obvious examples of such thinking. In God's will, our hearts find happiness. The scriptures set before us Jesus' vision of happiness, a life transformed by God's love. Hearts motivated by love rather than by the external routine of merely observing laws and regulations. In today's gospel passage, Jesus explains graphically and powerfully the attitude he seeks in us by expanding traditional teaching with regard to some of the commandments. While the commandment declares, "You shall not kill," Jesus says that the heart must not shelter even angry thoughts. He warns that allowing anger to smoulder within eats us up, makes us bitter and resentful, is destructful and robs us of happiness. He declares that reconciliation takes precedence over worship. Put simply, resolving quarrels and rows takes precedence over Sunday Mass. A further commandment declares, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus takes us beyond this. Just as no one is to be the object of lustful actions, neither are they to be the object of lustful thoughts or looks. The suggested drastic action against a sinful eye or hand makes the point that we must not pollute our minds with, for example, the addictive and malevolent lies of pornography. Watching ourselves in this regard is not repression, as some would claim. It is common sense safeguarding of our humanity and our happiness. In his teaching on marriage, Jesus declared, what God has united, man must not divide. But again, he takes us beyond that. A marriage doesn't succeed because it lasts. It is more than a forever relationship. It is a forever loving relationship. However, in the sometimes impossible complexity of human relationships, living this ideal cannot be achieved. Perhaps all that can be done is to continue to respect and value the ideal, even when it is not possible to live it to the full. We all trust in the Lord Jesus, who never turns away from anyone, but remains close to all, regardless of the dilemmas within which they live. Jesus then makes a very astute point by the very place he inserts his comment on divorce. He has spoken about anger and lust, then comments on divorce, and finally speaks about truthfulness and false promises. The point Jesus is making is that anger, infidelity, and lies choke marriages and are often at the root of fractured relationships. Lord Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Amen.